podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
So it's all for play for still?
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Smoke faces all around. Aston Villa 2, Arsenal 0. A brilliant day. A brilliant game, actually, to be honest with you. A really, really good tactical game of cat and mouse, I think, for a lot of that game today. And one that has driven me in a positive way to celebrate with a little tipple tonight. So I hope any of you who partake in the finer things are celebrating a little tipple, because Aston Villa did the double over Arsenal. Unai Emery is still undefeated as Aston Villa manager in London, which is an absolutely crazy statistic that we throw at the start. I think it's 10 games now, 7 wins, 3 draws, and brilliant stuff. I really am absolutely chuffed a bit after that. And for those of you asking me about my tooth, it was a back tooth. And it's absolutely fine. I'm not in any pain or anything like that. So thank you for your concern about me breaking a tooth celebrating Leon Bailey's goal.
Neil, I really hope you're not expecting much off me tonight.
Yeah, Paddy's had a few lads.
I am steaming. And that's okay. Because I'll be in bed in an hour. I'll be in bed in an hour, happy in the knowledge that we have got the 3 points that we weren't expecting today. And how fucking... Well, we get 20... How many minutes in?
1 minute and 56 seconds.
That's okay. So how happy we got to that win that we weren't expecting. So I'm sorry for coursing. I'm steaming and it's okay. We're all okay.
We're all good. But like it's really good, and it's a fantastic victory for Villa. Puts a lot of things back in our own hands now again. Fourth is back in our own hands. Fifth is, like I've been saying, I said, come Bournemouth, come up May. From the Bournemouth game, I thought that was really going to be where we would know if fifth place was in play for a Champions League. I think we will know that at the end of this week. Obviously, if Dortmund are barring it knocked out, I think England will get that extra coefficient place. So beating Bournemouth secures us fifth place in my view, because just the circumstances or the sequence of events that needs to happen, it would be absolutely crazy. But today was 3 points that we didn't count upon. I did put a bet on before, and I was confident enough Villa might get a result, as in get a draw and a real battling draw. But the way this game transpired was just absolutely brilliant. We relied on Diego Carlos and Emi Martinez were just outstanding in the first half. They were outstanding. They were brilliant in the first half. So was John McGinn. And then the second half, Unai Emery clicked and the tactics came into play. We started to push Dino much higher up in the second half. We might have in the first half let Saka run at him a good bit. We pushed him up higher. Zaniolo put in some shift out there on the left-hand side as well. We started to get a foothold in the game. McGinn started running the show in midfield for periods. But we didn't obviously do it all the time. But when we did, we were very clinical with it. Obviously, that shot from Ollie Watkins in the first half comes off the butt of the post. How in the name of God it doesn't go in, I don't know. And then an hour later, we're looking at Youri Tielemans smack one off the crossbar, off the post, and bounces out again. And you're looking, you're going, how the hell doesn't that go in? Tottenham luck was out. And we'd be talking about how we nearly beat Arsenal with two very, very good strikes that came back off the post. And then out of nowhere, ball comes across, Dina whips it across the box, and Leon Bailey at the back post slides it home. And as I said, the eruption. I was watching it with my 2.5-year-old, and she couldn't understand why I was so happy. And my better half was trying to explain to her, Aston Villa scored a goal, and then she was like looking, and then she was like, I think she said something along the line was, is a goal good or something along those lines? And I was ready to take off my pants and throw them out the window at that stage. You know, it was absolute jubilation. So Really, really great game. Really great day. Really lifted my mood. I thought I was going to be in the doldrums after that wedding last night. I thought that the rats were going to be nibbling at my feet all day today. But thank you, Unai Emery. You've been the best hangover cure I could have ever wished for today. And the masterclass you put on in that second half was absolutely fantastic.
Kids are amazing, aren't they?
They're brilliant.
They really are. Because my youngest is 13, nearly 14. She cares about Aston Villa because she cares about my well-being, I would say. That's the extent of her care.
Okay.
And I arrived home and I roared up the stairs, "Hello, how are you?" And she went, "Okay." And there was a young lad, he used to bully her at school, who was an Arsenal fan, and I thought of him today. Absolute fucking prick of a child. No names mentioned.
Don't mention any names, Jesus, Paddy. Don't. So I'm hovering over the remove button at the moment, just in case.
So she laughed at that crack today, because that's what I brought. That's what I brought home today.
Brilliant.
And here we are after beating Arsenal.
Yeah.
For the second time in a season.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Did you press that?
I mean, no, we'll do it again. See it again. It's a reactions thing. Look at that. Look, we beat Arsenal. Woohoo! Celebrate with balloons. You won't be able to do it. I think it's a feature on a MacBook. So unless you have a MacBook there, Paddy, I don't think it's going to show up. But they were well-timed balloons because of the celebration for beating Arsenal twice. Actually, I was only saying to Paddy that the last time we beat Arsenal, myself and Paddy did like a 2-hour marathon post-match podcast, and I was heavily supping whiskey, and I went on a big, massive
kind of... You lasted longer than I did.
I went on a voyage of self-discovery about how I could probably manage like Sean Dyche does in the Premier League. Go back and watch it. It makes no sense, but it was great fun, and it was such a happy podcast. And I ended up sleeping on the floor here afterwards because I was watching the game back and I fell asleep. I woke about 6 a.m. the next morning on a kind of couch I have here behind me. So good times, good times, good times. I won't be doing it tonight, though. I certainly won't be. But it just goes to show, like, the last... Paddy, I think we needed a good performance like this. We needed a win like this for obvious reasons anyway in our hunt for top four. But also, you know, a lot of times over the last few weeks, people have said, "Oh, we haven't really played well since Christmas. Haven't really played well since Christmas." And it's a kind of a valid talking point.
Yeah.
In ways, we destroyed Sheffield United and stuff like that, but we haven't been as good as we were before Christmas, after Christmas. But I think today really was a throwback to an Unai Emery real great masterclass. And I said it again, of coaching, of soaking up pressure, knowing that we have to have resting defense and stuff like that, and doing it without Douglas Luiz, without a recognized defensive midfielder in the team. I thought was brilliant, because it made Pau Torres, Diego Carlos and Kanza to a lesser degree really focus on the defensive side of the game. And I must give a massive pat in the back as well to Youri Tielemans, because while he's not a recognised defensive midfielder, he did so much work out there today. He was absolutely brilliant out there as well today. Who scored gave him man of the match. I myself thought Diego Carlos was man of the match. I just thought he was excellent today. Another person who sometimes we've alluded to here as well, going, when's he going to actually really be this big, strong character that we need him to be? That was today. Thought he was really good and, super, super, super stuff.
Yeah, he intermittently he has been man of the match, and just kind of take a breath. This is fucking incredible. Like I'm trying to look at the comments and look at you and listen to you.
Yeah.
And the comments
cross right there, Paddy. Just concentrate on talking. Don't chew gum and walk at the same time, you'll be fine.
Sam has come in and done this. Sam, it does look like a man, doesn't it? Could be
it is Sam, yeah.
Yeah. I absolutely, you know, Diego Carlos had a shit day during the week, and how fucking amazing was he today? It's amazing. Like, it really is that football can do that to you in the space of what, 3 days, 4 days, whatever it is. And then Emi Martinez, what a fucking save.
What a save.
My God, you know, and you can't. We've glossed over People have sent me messages going, you glossed over what Emi Martinez did. I'm not doing that anymore. Emi Martinez is the greatest goalkeeper in the world, and he's our goalkeeper. And he is going to absolutely drive us on to Champions League. And if we end up fifth and it's not Champions League, do you know what? It'll be okay. We have already, somebody said we've already secured Champions League today, didn't they?
No, we've already secured Europa League.
Europa League.
Yeah. I think like by the end of next week, even before the Bournemouth game, I think we will have secured Champions League. I think fifth place will be in play. I'm just wondering, did my rant after the Lille game break the matrix? Considering some of the results that we've had this week, Ross County beating Rangers for the first time ever. Crystal Palace beating Liverpool, and then Villa going out and doing a number on Arsenal as well, and throwing a spanner in the title race. So I'm wondering, was my out of character rant just so out of character that the Matrix is struggling to keep up with it? And we'll see what happens. I suppose we know after Lille, if we go out and hold on to our lead in Lille, but then I can confidently say that I ripped a hole in the space-time continuum with my rant at some stage last week. And whatever happened then afterwards, I don't know. But I'm going to take 100% credit for Villa getting in the Champions League, if that's the case.
Take all the credit you want, Neil, because this is completely unexpected. I have not spoken to one Villa fan that expected this today. And do you know what? We need to tip our cap to our leader, which is Unai Emery, obviously, because he has done this. Oh, what have you done? Can I do that too? I haven't done this in a long time. Are we ready? Are we listening?
Yeah.
Jeez, Neil, that's a long time since we did that.
It's a long time since we've done that, yeah. Yeah.
And look, it's, amazing to be in this situation. We're 3 points clear and a few goals clear, so we may not have to worry about fifth or fourth or whatever it is. Just go beat Bournemouth next weekend, keep the pressure on Spurs, see how that pans out. But for now, cheers, Villa fans. Cheers.
Cheers. Indeed.
For one of the, like, I know how negative I was on Thursday night. I 100% know how negative I was. And that's okay, because we can all be fans how we want to be fans. But for now, what an amazing day. What an amazing day. Can you imagine what an amazing this week this will be if we go and get over Lille on Thursday night, and me and you sit in the Aston Inn and toast everybody on Friday night, and then we'll have the best weekend ever. Cheers, guys.
Absolutely. Do you know what? Spectin is, and thanks, guys, for all your comments. I'm reading down through them as they're coming in here, and keep them coming. If 720 odd people inside there. Spectin, you reminded me something as well. I got up off the chair. And I got pulled right up off the chair and went, oh my God, what a flick. And you reminded me of it. That pass that Konsa played to Bailey, and it was just a lovely little outside of the boot flick around the corner. And none of the defenders had a clue what was happening. And Konsa wasn't even running fast. He was just kind of like I'm late for a London gentleman late for a bus kind of fast walk is all he was doing up the line, Konsa, and he got on the end of it. What a flick around the corner that was. I thought Bailey was superb when he came on. He came on at exactly the right time. He stretched Arsenal. He made sure that Zinchenko had to stay at home at that stage, and what he did was he brought their midfielders out to kind of meet him as well out in that touchline. There was one great camera angle where he was running with the ball and he just stopped dead like he does, and he a couple of drag backs, tried to beat players two or three times, and before you know it he had three players around him. I think he ended up passing it back to Konsa at the same time, but he'd drawn three players out of position, and that was superb work out of him. Another person, as I said earlier on, I thought played well was Zaniolo. Thought he really put in a shift today, a real good shift today. But also, I was saying beforehand that he used to overrun the winger when he was defending. someone had a word with him because he didn't do it once today. Did not do it once today, and he was up against a really good one. And yes, I know Saka had a lot of joy in the first half, and I, on Twitter, a lot of people were blaming Digne on it. I think a lot of it was that Zaniolo, just as I say, like, he's not a real defending winger, but he does try, and he's not going to get it right the whole time, but you have to applaud a fellow when he tries, and he kept on trying. I thought he was really, really good today as well. Ollie Watkins as well didn't have a ton of service today for a lot of the game. Had to do a lot of donkey work, had to stop Saliba and Gabriel from having what they wanted with the ball back there. He hits the post in the first half. Could have been, you know, I won't say forgiven, but he could have been one of these strikers that put his head in his hands and was like, oh my God, I'm so unlucky. You know, I got my one chance and it hits off the post and something and some anti-physics happens and it goes across the goals. But then he gets this ball and the cuteness of him to know he was... So the Arsenal defender almost tried to play him offside, but he was inside in his own half. And that's another one. I jumped up as well and I was like, he's onside, he's in his own half when he ran onto the ball. And they showed it afterwards and they clarified that he was inside his own half. But the Arsenal defender was pushing up and realised and was like, oh crap, Watkins gets the ball. Yes, he does get chased down, but that finish... Ollie Watkins isn't finishing the ball like that 18 months ago. He isn't as cool and as calm as collected as he was there. He probably would have kicked it against the goalkeeper's legs. And that's okay to say this. I am the conductor of the Ollie Watkins fan bus, always have been. But that finish was something brilliant as well. Brings him up to 19 goals, brings him up to 58 goals, I think, in the league for Aston Villa, in total, in Premier League goals for Aston Villa. And the man is a monster, you know, and he's going to break that 20-goal record that hasn't been done since Peter Witt in 81, I think it is. And he's going to do it. And then next year, he's going to come back and he's going to break Gabby's record. And, you know, he's ours. And all the nonsense talk about, and I've listened to one or two podcasts already that have almost said this word for word. All the nonsense talk about him not going with the English team is just nonsense. He has to go with the English team. He's the most complete striker outside of Harry Kane. He's probably even more complete than Harry Kane, but that's nonsense. But he is the most complete striker outside of Harry Kane in the league. He's got the goals to prove it. He could win the Golden Boot, and he probably still won't even be named Player of the Year. But he should be in with a great shout for it. Oliver George Watkins. And you know what? He speaks really well in interviews. He's a man who's going to be made for the match of the day coach afterwards. He's going to be made for it. He's really eloquent, speaks really well, lovely cadence to his voice, doesn't have a weird potato-y accent like myself. You know, he's very easily understood. Very great, very, very good ambassador for the club. And it's great that you have ambassadors like that for the club who are actually banging in goals as well at the clip that he's doing. So I spoke a lot longer about Ollie Watkins there than I wanted to, but I think he deserves it, because even when you've got Troy Deeney talking about not bad for a winger trying to be a striker, and you know what's Troy Deeney doing? I suppose is all I have to ask there. But yeah, tip of the hat to you, Oliver George. Tip of the hat.
Tip of the hat and tip of the point.
Yeah.
Cheers, Oliver.
There is a glass to him for sure.
We might not be in a position to do that next weekend, but. Yeah, I absolutely agree. And you have always been an advocate for Ollie Watkins. I have always been on the fence, as I will always be with every player. Same with Diaby, the same with Bailey. I will always sit on the fence until I see what they've done. But Ollie Watkins has been absolutely incredible for our club. And I take pleasure in that. I don't take...
Absolutely.
I'm not the kind of person that will go, oh, I was fucking wrong and be pissed off. No, this is the Villa fan. I'm a Villa fan of all else. And when somebody says to me, what do you think of Ollie Watkins 2 years ago? I'm going, well, he could do this, he could do that. But Ollie Watkins is the complete striker. And I believe he will overtake Gabby Bonlahor. I believe he will be a better striker than Dwight York. I don't want to see him on the couch for match of the day. I want to see him sitting beside Mark Regan talking about Villa for many, many years to come, because he deserves it and he's our man. And I would like to take this opportunity to thank Dean Smith for bringing him here, because he's done an incredible job.
An incredible job. Yeah, yeah, he's fantastic. You know, he's the talisman within our club at the moment. People have said it as well. I think it was mentioned by Paul Merson. Thank you so much, Colin. Thank you so much for that. I really, really appreciate that. Thanks a million. And also, a couple of people there have gifted memberships. Dave gifted a membership, and there was another one. I do apologize. I'm going to go back and see. Oh, Dave gifted two memberships.
I think he did it twice.
He did two of those. Yeah, he did it twice. So thank you so much for that, Dave. Really, really appreciate it. Oh, and I didn't even mean to click on that one, but Philly D says he doesn't believe my trousers didn't go out the window. they didn't. They didn't this time. But
stand up, Neil. Stand up.
Ollie Watkins was, as I say, he's our talisman. People were talking about the fact that, you know, if you've got a goalkeeper who can stop him at one end and you've got a striker who can put him in at the other end, sometimes what happens in the middle can be a bit immaterial for 60, 70 minutes, you know. But then when you have your 20-minute purple patch, you know that if you've got someone up top that's going to put him in the back of the net, and Ollie Watkins is doing that at the moment. And you know, it would be such a heartbreak for him on a personal level if he was to go the next five games out scoring in the Premier League. But I just think, with the brass ring that Villa have, or that Villa can grasp at the moment, you know, with Champions League football, there are goals in this team. There always has been. All year there's been goals in this team. Since Unai Emery's come in, there's been goals in this team. I just can't see him not. I can't see him going on one of his barren streaks for five games or anything like that. So, look who it is. It's Mr. Bracey. Hello, Ty. Ty is coming next Friday as well, guys. Just to let you know.
Ty is going to come talk to us all.
He's going to come up and talk to us as well. Yeah, yeah, Mr. Bracey.
Neither of us has ever met Ty, I don't think. Have we? You met Ty?
No, I met Ty, but there was about 6,500 people between us. I rang him and I said, "Where are you?" And I was sitting, he rang me and I was sitting in my seat in Villa Park. And next thing he goes, "Stand up." And I was like, "Oh, we're not doing the whole stand up and wave thing, are we?" And next thing, could see this hand just waving below. He goes, "That's you below." He was just directly below me. So that's the closest I've come to meeting Ty in 3D. Yeah, so looking forward to meeting him on Friday for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I've never met him either. So, Ty, I look forward to having the chats with you on Friday in the Aston Inn. Can you believe that we're talking about Friday as being like a few days away?
It is.
I love a short week. I love a short week of work where I've only got 4 days to put down.
Yeah. I for the month of April, I had a lot of carryover days from last year. For the month of April, I haven't worked a full week yet, and it's been absolutely brilliant. Next week is another short week again, and long may I continue. And the week after is as well, because I'm off on the Monday too. God, I forget what work looks like at this rate.
Do you work
at all?
Which
is not a bad thing. I don't work at all. Sure. Oh, when you do what you love, Paddy, is it really work? You know, all that kind of crack.
Yeah. What do they say?
Paddy, talk to me about the ref, Mr. Coote, because I think there was one decision where, like, obviously Morgan Rogers' yellow card, the only yellow card we got, I thought it wasn't the yellow card anyway, number one, I thought it was City. But I don't think he was that descript for the rest of the game. I didn't come away going, oh my God, like we got away with it with a couple of decisions. I think he was absolutely fine. I think, that's why I think I may have broken the matrix with my rant at the weekend, because I'm not, like, David Coote was fine.
No, well, apart from, and I have this theory about young English proteges that arrive on the scene, that they like to put them back in the box, but I thought that was a harsh yellow card for Morgan Rogers.
Oh yeah, it wasn't.
I thought it left him sitting on the naughty step for the 90 minutes and probably about 75 minutes, not being able to put in a tackle. That kind of stuff just annoys the shit out of me. But anyway,
but I don't think it affected his game. I don't think it affected Rogers' game, because he was still really powerful in the carry, and when he got around the box, he had some really nice touches. And once again, all he does is smile when he's on the football field. And I'm a sucker for that stuff, you know. I'm a sucker for these intangibles. And, you know, we've often said it before, Paddy, that Dean Smith actually said this phrase, if I'm not mistaken, like that he operated the No Dickheads Club when he was trying to sign people. Like, you're going to sign people who are sound. You want to sign people who love the game. You want to sign people who are people, get on with people. And Ollie Watkins, point in case, you know, absolute point in case there in Ollie Watkins. He is... He's like a guy that's pragmatic enough and intelligent enough to understand the way the game of football goes. And then, but at the same time, you know, he's also pragmatic enough to demand more people, but in a friendly way, if that makes sense. And now we look at Morgan Rodgers. He just plays with a smile on his face. He really does. And he just looks like he just really loves playing the game of football. And I love that. I love that. In a cynical game, and a game based on how many zeros you have at the end of your contract, and a game based on let me have a good year and go to a contender and get a few cups and maybe only be a bit part player, you know, to see young players really enjoying their football, learning from one of the best managers. It's just an undeniable fact that Unai Emery is one of the best managers in Europe at the moment. And he's growing in with every single game. And a couple of people have said there that he could be he's a steal at the money we got him for. Like, you know, a fine player. And he's really kind of growing into that mantle. And I genuinely believe we wouldn't be seeing him play as much as he has now if Jacob Ramsey was fit. So sometimes, while obviously we would love Jacob Ramsey there, you know, it's the sign of a good manager and a sign of a good team that makes hay while the sun shines, especially in the face of adversity. And that adversary today being without Douglas Luiz and Boubacar Kamara, and then, you know, I get man of the match was Diego Carlos, definite second best player on the field was Youri Tielemans for me, and then you've Morgan Rodgers then playing in that position in behind Ollie Watkins. Thought he was really good. So hats off to the mentality of the players, the no excuses culture that Unai has, and that comes from Unai, and it comes from the top down. And when you employ a no dickheads policy, you know, you get that buy-in from players, because it's a professionalism piece, and I love it. I just love it. And look, as you say, Paddy, we're sitting here. There's three teams above us. We've given them all a good run for their money in games we played them this year. Like, Liverpool's still yet to come. Obviously, Liverpool kind of humbled us at the start of the season. The only team that's really humbled us throughout the course of the season has been Newcastle. But after that, we've really got up and got at players. And that's because of the great coaching and the great man management and the great foresight of Mister. He's just been absolutely fantastic. And, you know, we're waxing lyrically about nearly everyone we talk about. But I feel after results like this, they really deserve it, because it's their work, it's their hard work, and the vision all comes from the man at the top. It's his hard work that's got us where we are.
Neil, I should say to the 900 people in there that I said to you when I logged on tonight that you might need to talk a little bit more than you normally would, and I'd like to apologize. I'm just overawed over too many points. Everything that we got to do today for great, great performance, and for the 900 people that are here today, I'd like to give you, Neil, we had a conversation on Thursday night and everybody sent us a message. You a message, me a message, probably the same message. We're good friends.
Well, great.
Regardless of what happens on the pitch, off the pitch, the best thing we can do for all those 900 people tonight is say we will disagree, agree, but we will never, ever, ever fall out.
Not much anyway. Not much, like, you know, we'll never beat each other much more than a bit of makeup on cover, like, you know, that's we have a rule, no hitting in the face. That's the rule we have. That's the rule.
So we get on the flight next Friday morning, and
what time is our flight actually? Yeah.
Like fucking stupid o'clock, obviously.
Yeah, I think it's the red eye.
It's the reddest of red eyes.
I think it is. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I have to remember what account I booked it under as well. Okay.
So anyway, that's a job for
tomorrow.
We have the greatest challenge ever on Friday morning, because me and you have to go and bring the guests to the venue.
The potential, yeah. We have to get 100% confirmation tomorrow, and then we actually might have to kidnap them. So technically kidnap the guests.
That could be the most unusual day ever. But we'll see how it goes. But look, here we are. We've beaten Arsenal. We didn't expect it. Oh, I just so want us to win that Conference League. I just so want us to win this Conference League. And let's see how the next week pans out. But if you're in Birmingham and you're free next Friday night, come and see us. Come and have the crack. Come and have a pint with us. Buy us a pint. We'll buy you one back if you need to. But here we are. Absolutely. So 3 points. 3 points that we weren't expecting today, and we've got them. We've beaten Arsenal. Beating Arsenal 2-0, beating them twice this year. And let's say the second half today was fucking incredible. And if we can do a portion of that on Thursday night, we'll probably turn over Lille. And that's me flipping. That's me flipping from where I was on Thursday night. And I'm okay with that. I'll flip the same way I flipped on Ollie Watkins, the same way I flipped on Leon Bailey. That's what we do. We're fans.
Josh Gunn has just beat me to the pull as well here, Paddy. I was going to say that we wanted to give away, or we wanted to say, yeah, you know, like, give away the shirt, to do the shirt giveaway, should I say. So let's do it. While we're all on positivity and we're all talking to everybody or about everybody, and we're all praising everybody, let's praise you guys and let's give somebody a shirt. So I've it all loaded up here, just all above board. So basically you must follow the account here, and you must have retweeted the or you must have liked the interaction as well. So we have it all loaded up here. Just going to click on continue. Where are we? So there's entries loaded in there, 50 entries per page, and we're going to click on so we're going to begin the draw. Drum roll please. Going to begin the draw. Villa Fish 4 is the winner. Let me view the 4 entry. So if you are, where's he gone to? Villa Fish 4. Go back. I've lost it there now. If you are Villa Fish 4, get in contact with us from Dartford. If you are Villa Fish 4, give us a shout. There's a shirt on its way to you. And congratulations and well done. And you know what? We're going to for anybody who's at the podcast on Friday as well, keep an eye out. We'll be doing some giveaways as well on the night as well. So there's a, as we like to call it here in Ireland, there's like a Paris raffle on the night of the podcast as well. So get in there early. Oh yeah, also if you are coming to the podcast to do next Friday, we've been pretty loose on what kind of time it's starting at as well. It may need to start a small bit earlier because, as we said, if our guests do confirm, we actually genuinely may need, like, we will have to go and corral them to get them down at a certain time. So kickoff time for the podcast will be about 7 p.m. and we'll obviously go on for the whole night. So we'll be there until about 9:30. We'll try and get as much in and stage as we possibly can. There'll be questions and answers. We'll have Mr. Bracey be joining us. We may have somebody else joining us as well from popping up on stage as well. So look, we'd be absolutely delighted to have you there. It's just going to be a bit of crack and a bit of fun and bit of a get-together, I suppose, in Birmingham, so we're really looking forward to it. Yeah, and as Mark Wood said, the first prize for the raffle is a paddy cuddle, and second prize is a paddy cuddle as well. Third prize then would be my pants, and there's other prizes then, spot prizes that are that will be announced on the night too. Anything else to go through, Paddy? I'm asking the wrong man. Yeah. There we go. Right, I think there was something else I wanted to go through. Wait a minute, if I check my WhatsApp, I know someone sent me something on WhatsApp, but no.
I just realised I was on mute. Sorry. So you're going to kill me now, but you see this guy, Josh?
Yes.
I'm going to give Josh a shirt. If we can't afford it, I'm going to give Josh a shirt. So, Josh, you send us a message too, because we have had the most fucking incredible day, and we've beaten Arsenal twice.
Why not? This season.
So, Josh,
there you go.
Send us a message. If we haven't got enough in the account, I'm going to pay for it, because I fucking love you guys.
Paddy, yeah, we're going to do a draw there for to pay off somebody's mortgage. I'm hoping Paddy turns around and offers that as well.
No,
it's good crack. No, listen, yeah, get in contact with us, Villafish 4, and get in contact with us, Josh, as well, because Paddy's, you've got Paddy on a good day. which is always good too. Which is always good to do.
I don't normally make decisions on this podcast, but there I am. I've done it.
There you go. There you go. Sometimes you got to shoot your shot and you got to ask the question. I think we want to leave it at that, guys, for two reasons, because I might fall asleep any minute. And Aston Villa 2, Arsenal 0 is still ringing in the back of my head. Plus, we've got match of the day. What time is match of the day? Would you believe every single Sunday I have to ask what time match of the day is? I have a mental block on remembering what time match of the day is. Mental block. When is it on?
About half ten. After the news.
I might find it difficult to wait up that long, but it would be great. It's going to be great to see Paddy or to see Danny Murphy's face.
Rona wants me to get the short on my back. I'm not getting See this short. I reckon this is the lucky short. I love this. If anybody has bought the short this year, it is the most comfortable short. It's just got that, like, I obviously there's been a bit of discussion this week of the home short, and on Thursday night you could see the sweat in the short, but it's because it's now plus 10 degrees when you're playing football, as opposed to being fucking minus 2 or minus 3 as it always is in Birmingham. But this short is the most comfortable short, other than the Umbro short that I got from Blackrock and Beats and Deck Pierce, and my hero, Deck Pierce.
Deck went on an absolutely sensational rant on Twitter today. Oh my God, go find Deck Pierce's Twitter and read it. Deck went full Paddy today on Sky Sports. Absolute gold. Go find it. I was like, there you go, Deck. Well done.
What a legend.
Oh, absolutely. An absolute legend, Deck Pierce. If anybody here doesn't know who Deck Pierce is, if anybody here is in Ireland and hasn't been to one of his gigs, Deck Pierce might be the nicest man that's ever put on a pair of trousers. He might be the nicest man. Just an absolute legend. But Richie Ryan is telling us here as well to tune into Arsenal Fan TV as well. That's what I'm going to do between now and half 10 while waiting for match of the day. Going to go throw myself into the scratcher.
Do you not have to pay for it?
No. I think it's just on YouTube.
Okay, we'll try it.
Arsenal Fan TV. You know the pricks in Arsenal Fan TV, like, you know, they're not behind a paywall as far as I'm aware. Josh, if you're on Twitter, you can DM Paddy or you can DM myself. That's how you get in contact with us. Just send us a DM on Twitter. DMs are open. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take a look at Arsenal Fan TV.
If you're not on Twitter, or you're not on Instagram, or you're not on Facebook, villapaddy82@gmail.com. Go for it. And if anybody ever wants to reach out, chat, do whatever you like. That's the email address, villapaddy82@gmail.com.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll reply eventually.
Yeah. I'm the same. Maybe I'm brutal for replying and stuff, but it's not because I'm bitty big balls. It's because I literally just forget, and I'm not very good at replying and stuff like that. So I do apologize. I must go look at the website, because the website, people regularly send stuff through on the website, and I'm very bad to check that stuff. I'd imagine that there's probably tons of stuff there, so better check that. If anybody's tried to get in contact with us through the contact us link on the website, I'm sorry. That's all I have to say. I'm sorry. I haven't checked it in about 6 weeks, so I'm very sorry.
Neil, I reckon you're just fucking way too busy. Way too busy with your two kids. If somebody wants a counseling service, as Richie Ryan has asked here today, just villapaddy82@gmail.com. It's grand.
There we go.
I can't turn it off. I can't turn it off.
It's done now. excellent.
I don't care about spam. If anybody wants to talk, life is fucking tough. Today is one of the great days. As a Villa fan, if you want to talk, email,
absolutely,
message, DM any of us. We'll do anything we can to talk back to you. We'll meet up with you. We'll do whatever you got to do. Life is tough, and most of us don't even realize what everybody else is going through. So, as somebody who has struggled previously, hit us a message. Do anything you want to do. Send us a message. We will get back to you. Yeah. I can't. Oh, well, I'm speaking for you, Neil, now. So you've got a
If I see the messages, I'll get back. Like 90% of the time, for people who need to contact me regularly, I just give them my phone number usually because it goes, I'll definitely respond there. Sometimes I forget if I see it on Twitter or whatever the case is. No, I'm not giving my phone number out over bloody YouTube. I'm not doing that.
We're all good. We are on the 14th of April, still in the Champions League fight. People are still fighting a shit battle. So if you need us, we're here. Say hello.
Absolutely.
Say hello. Send us a message. Do whatever you got to do. But most of all, enjoy. Fucking great day it is.
100%. And just before we leave you, I'm going to leave you on this as well, everyone. We know, as far to the best of my knowledge, we know of the most wins we've ever had in a 38-game Premier League season. We need 2 points to get our highest points total in a 38-game Premier League season. And we just need 5 more goals to break our goals scored record in a 38-game Premier League season. And in the words of the great Liam Gallagher, don't fuck with the Villa. Because Villa have had an absolutely fantastic season. And did you not see that? Liam Gallagher tweeted that today. Don't fuck with the Villa.
Really?
That's what he said. He tweeted that today.
My hero. My absolute fucking hero, who I'm going to see twice this summer. I'm going to go back and look for that tweet and give him
plaster on a t-shirt and sit in the front row. That's what you're going to do.
Don't fuck with the Villa. Hashtag don't fuck with the Villa.
Up the Villa. Brilliant. Yeah. So we're going to leave it at that, guys. Everyone, get yourselves ready for Match of the Day. If you are watching, I am going to have a listen to Arsenal Fan TV. I will never forgive that fan channel for what they did in the ground or what they did outside the ground with that little guy, the guy who looks like a bat, without wings, did outside the ground. And I think the club learned an awful lot of lessons from not letting him in to fill him inside the ground, and then for them to disrespect the club like that and disrespect the fans like the way that they did afterwards. So I will bask in whatever kind of nonsense that they're talking about later on this evening. And we don't get into the old podcast rivalry kind of stuff here, but you know, they're a different kettle of fish. They broke the mold for podcasts in a bad way an awful lot of times. And sometimes, you know, karma's a bitch. That's what I would say from that point of view. Karma is the greatest bitch you will ever encounter. And on that, everybody, we're going to leave. We'll see you later on in the week for Lille versus Aston Villa preview. And in the meantime, everyone, stay safe, stay healthy, and up Unai Emery's absolutely brilliant Aston Villa.
Up the Villa.
Podcast Network.